Grace and peace to all of you in the name of Jesus the Christ on this, the fourth Sunday of Advent 2022. You braved it this morning. Good for you. It's cold out, isn't it? Well, in here, we offer you a very warm, heartfelt, and unconditional welcome to all of you who have gathered for worship, including those who join online through Facebook live stream. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined by our worship team, production engineer, and special musicians, the Mayflower Chancel Choir. There they are. And our liturgists today are Deanne McCormick and Roger Kennedy. Roger, I have a feeling since you were up here last week, you just want to say goodbye to everybody today, right? All right, I'll let him do that. Well, we will enjoy our usual time of fellowship and food in the Friendship Center following the worship service today. But soon after you get your food and sit down, we will interrupt everything because we will also take some very special time to share in a Christmas carol sing-along during our fellowship time led by Barb Fuller and Deanne McCormick. So join us, will you, all of those who can? And if you think of yourself as a karaoke singer, just join right in. When I get involved in karaoke, it turns into karaoke. Just kidding, folks. Couldn't resist that. And don't forget the display of Christmas creches that we have back there. Take a look. It's done very artfully. And so a good time of fellowship and singing and food today. Still looking for two bell ringers for the Salvation Army that our church is involved in on the 21st of December. That bell ringing will take place at the Lansing Mall, and what we need are a couple more people to volunteer from 4 to 6, if you are able. The music department of the Mayflower Congregational Church has been working very hard preparing special music for our annual Christmas Eve service, which will occur this Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. So we hope you can come and be a part. We also want you to know in advance of the service that, as is our tradition, we will be taking an offering that will go entirely to a charitable cause. In the past, we have given several times to the Salvation Army. We have also given to a school employee across the street who suffered a stroke and had limited resources to support her family while she missed work. And it wasn't too long ago when the fires in Paradise, California leveled a congregational church and almost all the homes of the members. And we took an offering that night and sent it directly to Paradise, California. And this year we are giving our Christmas Eve offering to the Lansing Area Food Bank, which is a lifeline for many people, including the working poor. So if you are able, we ask you to come prepared to give generously as we follow the example of the one whom we celebrate at this time of year. And if you are not able, your presence in the service is always a gift to us all. We will be sharing some treats in the reception, which follows the service, and we'll need some of you to bring some desserts and finger foods, but if you can't do that, we want you here anyway, and I kind of have a feeling there'll be enough to eat. Remember, there will be no worship service next Sunday. Enjoy Christmas morning with your friends and families. Sunday services will resume on New Year's Day as we observe communion together. And for what it's worth, it's Barb and Jerry's anniversary, January 1st. Anybody else ever get married on January 1st? Okay. I better stop while I'm behind. Okay. Well, for anyone who will not be with us for the Christmas Eve service, we wish you a safe, happy, glorious, and the very merriest of Christmases. Let us now worship God. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayflower family.
Good morning, Roger.
What a joy to welcome all of you on this fourth Sunday of Advent, and the last Sunday we will be together until next year. Fortunately, we will gather again this Saturday night for our annual Christmas Eve service, and we are all looking forward to that. Meredith and I will be leaving next week for our annual trip to Arizona, and we will miss you all. We, of course, will be watching online and keeping up with all the Mayflower happenings, and we'll look forward to seeing you around early April when we return. For today, we are focusing on Joseph, a righteous man who listened to his better angel as he dealt with what appeared to be a scandal. As we worship today, let us be alert for the voice of God through the messengers of God uses each week in our worship services. Those messengers include those who share their talents through music and the spoken word. But there are also angels seated right beside us and all around us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we thank you for guiding us through another season of reflection, repentance, and preparation during Advent. We ask that you would be with us all as we set ourselves aside once again for the spiritual preparation we need to open our hearts wide for the coming of the Lord. May this service of sacred worship help us to tune out all the stress and anxiety of this last week before Christmas. We thank you for all the angels in our lives who bring encouragement, perspective, and hope as we navigate the mundane and search for the sacred. May we find and experience that same joy and hope which came to Joseph and Mary, the shepherds, and all those who wait for the promise of God to be fulfilled. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Today, we relight the first three Advent candles, the candles of hope, peace, and joy. Now we light the candle for the fourth Sunday in Advent. This is the candle of love. Jesus demonstrated self-giving love in his ministry as the Good Shepherd. Advent is a time for kindness, thinking of others, and sharing with others. It is a time to love as God loved us by giving us his most precious gift. As God is love, let us be love also. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find these words: "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Deuteronomy 10, verses 17 through 19a. From the Gospel of John we hear, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, and everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John 13, verses 34 through 35. Let us pray. Teach us to love, O Lord. May we always remember to put you first as we follow Christ's footsteps, that we may know your love and show it in our lives. As we prepare for our celebration of Jesus' birth, also fill our hearts with love for the world, that all may know your love and the one whom you have sent, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
It would be impossible to measure the immeasurable gift that God has given to us in the person of Jesus the Christ. And when we give our tithes and offerings to God, they certainly can be measured in dollars and cents. But only God can measure the results for eternity as our gifts are blessed, multiplied, and then replenished. Thanks be to God as we now offer the gifts of our time, talents, resources, and indeed our very selves in this holy act of worship. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together as a beloved community in worship. And in this wonderful season, it is easy for us, even as travelers along the journey of faith, to be blinded to the significance of our sacred observances of Advent and Christmas. So, I humbly ask, as your servant and shepherd of this flock, that you would help us all this week in what will likely be very hectic. We must make all kinds of preparation, including travel, food, cleaning, giving, hosting, and many other responsibilities. So give us strength for each task, patience when things don't go quite as perfectly as we want, and forbearance toward others when they are likely to get on our nerves, even our most beloved family members. Help us to be Christ-like, and help us to ask for forgiveness when we are wrong, and help us to say as many thank yous as we can to as many as we can. And Lord, help us not to feel guilty for the Christmas cards we didn't write, the cookies we didn't bake, or the tasks we didn't complete. We pray especially for the members of our bell and chancel choirs as they make final preparations for Christmas Eve. Be with Barb, our director, and Deanne, our accompanist. Be with the hardworking volunteers in our church, mostly behind the scene, working, planning, decorating, and preparing. Give safe travels to all those on the road or in the air. And give us all the merriest of Christmases as we let the Spirit of Christ rule in our lives and in our church. And then, O God, be with those who will be painfully experiencing loss and loneliness during the holidays. May we, as members of the beloved community, fill the gaps whenever and wherever we can. Help us never to cease praying, especially for those among us who need it the most. We pray for Linda Riley and daughter Anne. Anne McClelland. Leslie Timmons. We also remember Gordon, James, Jerry, Lionel, Irma, Don, Carl, Sheila, Paula, Mike, Darlene, Meredith, Carlene, and others we mention now. Now, Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to pray collectively and with passion the prayer that we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Joseph, he was the oft-forgotten yet important character in the story of Christmas, was a righteous man and full of faith. That did not mean, however, that his life was free from stress or even scandal. He knew the scriptures and the law, but needed the help of an angel when faced with a dilemma. Perhaps we do too. Hear now these words. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the time, the brief moments we set aside on a Sunday morning to listen and hear from you. May it be so as I speak. Amen. Well, as far as Sundays goes, this is the last sermon you're going to hear this year. Are you happy about that? Mixed reviews. Well, in the way the calendar works this year, this Sunday is both the fourth Sunday of Advent and will, in effect, be our Christmas Sunday, as we will not be gathered for worship next Sunday. Lovely poinsettias up here. Thanks to you and to those that made such a beautiful display up here. Now, a strict liturgist might suggest that it is heresy to sing Christmas carols during Advent. But that is exactly what we are going to do today after worship during our fellowship time, because fortunately, we don't have strict liturgists in our midst. At least I'm not aware of any one of them. Barb and Deanne are going to lead us, and the lectionary helps out too, because it takes a first step, as it has this morning, into the birth narrative in the gospel as presented by Matthew. Yet, we are still nestled into the season of Advent, waiting and hoping. And here's a spoiler alert for Christmas Eve. I can't wait. Before we step into that narrative, however, we must acknowledge something that even a most casual observer notices when reading each of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There is little that can be harmonized in each of the narratives concerning the birth event which history acknowledges, but with little factual detail to corroborate. Mark, in his gospel, didn't feel it was important enough, apparently, for the birth story, and he introduces Jesus as an adult. Maybe, just maybe, that part of his narrative became lost, but we will never know. So if you read the Gospel of John, John is very theological and does not give a birth narrative, but a treatise, whereby he says that the living Word, which is the Greek word logos, came into the world and existed from God from the beginning of time and was with God when all things were created. In fact, John notes, nothing was ever created or came into being without him, that being Jesus. But John does not name Jesus until the 17th verse into that narrative. He tells us that with the Word came light, and that light has come into the world. In him was life, he says, and the life was the light of all people. And you will hear more about that on Christmas Eve. And if you're here on Christmas Eve, you'll get at least a little part of a sermon, maybe shorter, but that theme for the service is Christmas lights. Now, Luke gives us the traditional narrative of the baby born in a manger. Remembering the King James Version, swaddling clothes? As a kid, it took me a long time to ever figure out what swaddling clothes were. And the only thing I hoped is that my mom wouldn't put swaddling clothes on me when I went to school. There was no room in the inn, while the shepherds out in their fields looked up expectantly and saw bright lights, with angels singing the Hallelujah Chorus. Well, maybe it wasn't the Hallelujah Chorus, but it was a glorious sound, and it works in my imagination. Luke also tells the story from Mary's perspective, who sang a magnificent song we call the Magnificat, of praise to the Lord, who she understood had been deemed favored among all women. Indeed, it must have been so. Just one chapter beyond today's narrative in Matthew, in chapter 2, one chapter up, tells the story of the wise men from the east searching for a king, followed a bright celestial object, Matthew calls it a star, on a two-year journey which led them to the child. Jealous King Herod got involved and wanted to kill the baby. So he consulted the wise men and weaseled the information out of them as to the whereabouts of the baby. So Joseph was warned by an angel in a dream not to return to Israel until Herod died. Mary, Joseph, and the baby fled to Egypt, where Jesus spent part of his infant years. Prior to this story of the wise men in the second chapter, Matthew tells the earlier part of the story in what was read today. And it was from this unique perspective of Joseph, the forgotten character in the birth narrative. Now, it is impossible to resolve all the tensions within these amazing and beautiful accounts that we call the Gospels, good news. Both Matthew and Luke also included genealogies, which do not agree with each other, and they are difficult to trace accurately, even with the information we get from the Old Testament, but their testimony was consistent about who Jesus the Christ was. There were certainly many attempts, there have been many attempts to harmonize all these accounts, stories, and genealogies with great sincerity. But it doesn't work for me as a student of the Bible. What we don't have is one unified story with irrefutable facts and vivid historical details. So what do we have? This is what works for me. The main point of the story does not depend on any one of the various accounts or details we read in the Scriptures. The point is that God entered humanity in Jesus. He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, the prophet tells us. And all of the Gospels perfectly agree on that point. In the most humble of circumstances, and beyond the dashed hopes of Israel for a king on a horse who would come to defeat the enemies of Judah with military force and political will and make Israel great again, in an obscure countryside in a barn or a cave among smelly animals, a teenage couple turned away at the local Comfort Inn, or maybe it was a Marriott, birthed a baby whom God destined to change the world, to bring peace instead of warfare, to bring hope instead of despair, and love instead of hate. I'm not sure I would have known these things had it not been for the Christmas stories that I heard at a very young age, and why we want to believe that God's plans can never be thwarted. I don't know what the outcome would have been were it not for faithful, righteous, yet fallible and flawed human beings who listened to the voice of God through a messenger sent from God, then acted courageously and with integrity, yielding to divine impulse, and then they did the right thing. Joseph was one of those who did just that, and you and I are called to do the same thing. And so we too must listen to our angel, or indeed angels. And I assume that there are many of them in your life now, and many more as you look back. Joseph, called a righteous man, and indeed he was in a serious pickle. Have you ever been in a pickle? I think we all know what that is. Here's the situation. Joseph and Mary were a couple we presume were in love, although we don't know much about their love life, but wouldn't it be nice to know a little more about the love story of Mary and Joseph? They were betrothed, pledged, or engaged, as the English version struggled to find the word that fits, and there isn't one, because it was inadequate to describe the situation. The legalities of the day carried the legal strictures of marriage, although they did not yet live together, nor had they had sexual intercourse. Jesus then found out that Mary was pregnant, which then became a multifaceted pickle. The pickle grows. If you were in a legally binding relationship and found out your betrothed was pregnant, never having consummated the relationship, what would you do? A pickle hardly describes it. What we are not told is what went through Joseph's mind, how upset he might have been, and what his emotions were. Once again, we have to use our theatric imaginations. But being a righteous man, he wanted to follow the law. And the law said some kind of strange things, that he must divorce. Doesn't sound right. The holy, righteous law of God. But wanting to follow with compassion, he wanted to do it quite quietly, because exposure would have produced a more public scandal, which meant certain death for Mary and perhaps himself. And if you want to read something strange about the law, read the 22nd chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 23 to 27, which graphically describes what must happen in a case where an engaged woman was found to have been unfaithful. She is to be stoned to death according to the law. So that, why? So that evil would never be allowed to enter the community, the beloved community, the scriptures tell us. And unfortunately, this is the backdrop for many sincere Christian people who think that the borders to our country should be closed to all outsiders who come from countries who are people different from us. Regardless, at the point of Joseph's worst pickle, he hears and then listens to his angel. As I've pondered this text all week, I want to use my own theatrical imagination from the text. I also want to use my own personal experience and that which flows directly from this narrative to help us all identify the voice and voices of God in our lives through God's angelic messengers. First of all, the voice Joseph heard was a calming and reassuring voice. Joseph was not told to do something outlandish or stupid. Do not be afraid, he was told. It is going to be okay. Secondly, Joseph was not told to do anything contrary to the law of love. Even before Joseph was reassured by God that Mary had not committed adultery, Joseph, I believe, loved Mary enough to have forgiven her. And little did he know that she was listening to her angels as well. Which leads me to another and last observation concerning the voice of God spoken through the angels in our lives. The voice of God will always incline us to the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. The letter of the law is judgment, condemnation, and ultimately death. The spirit of the law is mercy, kindness, forgiveness, and love. And what is often missed about the exchange Joseph had with a messenger from the divine was that Joseph exemplified what and who was to come. After all, and this is often missed in the gospel accounts, Joseph had a leading role in guiding, nurturing, and teaching the young child who was to become our salvation. I close with my own experience. I have had past angels and present angels in my life. Many of you have heard the story of how Deanna and I got together in a narrative that began almost 13 years ago. You have heard of all the fairy tale aspects of how I was smitten, and I was. But in our courting days, there was a glitch. And if you watch Hallmark movies, there's always a glitch, right? Isn't that right? There's a glitch. Well, the glitch had to do with my stubbornness. As would be the case in any developing romance, Deanna and I discovered at least one place where we had a philosophical difference in our perspectives in life or on life. I had enjoyed the freedom of being my own person and not answering to a spouse in the years when I was single. The glitch brought into question my willingness to pick up stakes and move to Michigan and submit myself to the give and take aspects of mutual accountability in relationship. It was my choice, and while it was not a moral choice, it was an important one nonetheless. I was tempted to choose total personal freedom and then continue to live with a sense of loneliness. I was ready to give it all up. I had a close friend whom I had hired to become one of our best tour guides, and he also became one of my best friends. He and I spent much time together as we talked a lot about sports, politics, travel, and life in general. I still talk to him on a regular basis. When he heard about my hesitation and he had met Deanne, he took me aside and forcefully told me that I was about to make the biggest mistake in my life. "Deanne is the best thing that ever happened to you," he said. "Don't be a fool." And he really let me have it. Let me tell you, you didn't know this part of the story, did you? Although Deanne knows this part. And if you can imagine even that forceful way, he did it with kindness, love, and compassion as my friend, and who I now know was my angel. I quickly came to my senses, and I gave Deanne a call, and I had something I had to apologize for, and the rest is history. One topic that my angel, Michael, didn't talk much about was religion, because that was not his thing. And at the time, I wasn't talking much religion either. But that changed too. Several years after Deanne and I were married, however, and after I became the pastor here at Mayflower, Michael and I continued to have conversation. Some of you will remember when Michael and his girlfriend Kathy stood at the front of this church and they were baptized. I baptized my angel. And when I talk to Michael these days, there's rarely a conversation that he doesn't refer to that moment right here in the Mayflower Church. And he always sends his greetings. Many of you have become my angels. I would say all of you have. And hopefully, in some sense, it works both ways. Let's continue to listen to the angels so we can hear the voice of God. Amen. And by the way, Merry Christmas. Have you ever tried to hunt for a song in the hymnal or anywhere else that was a song about Joseph and the angel? I don't think you can find one, and I suppose that was a dilemma for you, Barb. But you chose a hymn that reminds us all of the voice of angels. And my thought is this, as I leave you with a benediction. So be it, I am ready, according to your word. Go in peace, and again, Merry Christmas. Thank you.
You see a bunch of happy faces up there? Kind of translate, doesn't it? Well, it translates to everything that's going to happen now, and that is take a good look at the creche displays that we have back there. Take a good bite of all the food that you can fit in your mouth, at least to the extent that you want to. And then it won't be long after you sit down to eat. You have to put your food aside or eat it when you can. We're going to sing some Christmas carols so we don't take too long to get you home on this, what we consider Christmas Sunday, as well as the fourth Sunday of Advent. Go in peace. Happy days.